Now to our weekly look at what's making news in science. And joining us now is Wendy Zukerman, science journalist with The Checkout, ABC One's Consumer Affairs program. Wendy, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the age-old discussion of nature versus nurture. I believe we have some new evidence on which makes the biggest contribution to our intelligence. Tell us.
That's right. A very large, and some people are calling controversial, although I would say it's not, study came out of the UK just late last week to suggest that over 50% of our intelligence, and it wasn't really a marker of intelligence, but rather how kids did in their end-of-year exam results. And they said that around 50% of their success could be attributed to their genes. And in their results, only about a third of that success could be attributed to the environment, which included your family, your neighbourhood, and even your school. So that nature sort of arm of the debate really won out in this study.
So basically, a child's educational fate could be sealed at conception.
Well, this is why people think it's controversial, but when we think about a third, that's really quite a lot. So it's telling us that more in this study, more of a child's success was attributed to their heritability, their genes, but a third could really, that final sort of nugget of your environment, your family, could be the difference between going to uni, getting into the course that you want, if you have parents that are really encouraging you or teachers that are really encouraging you, that could really be the difference between your success in the exams, because 30% is quite a lot when you're looking at exam results. So nothing's sealed, and it's still really important that we encourage children and we give them a good schooling environment in order to get the best out of them. But this study does really show that we can't ignore the fact that our genes play a very important role in a child's success at school.
Just moving on to another snippet of science news, some good news for pet owners, I believe.
That's right. Now, about a decade ago, a very curious study came out showing that kids who grow up with pets, particularly dogs, which is great for all the dog lovers out there, tended to be less likely to get allergies when they grew up. And scientists have never really understood why. And so some researchers out of the US thought they'd do some curious tests on mice where they took some dust from a house with a dog and they took some dust from a house without a dog, and they fed it to a different group of mice, and then they wanted to test how the mice did when they were then challenged with a sort of allergen. In this case, it was a little bit of cockroach or a little bit of egg, which mice don't like, just like the rest of us. And it turns out that if the mice had been eating some of the dust from the doghouse, they were much, literally the doghouse, they were much less likely to have an allergic response when sort of challenged with that sort of cockroach bits and egg bits.
So what does this mean? That we all need to get a pet and do a lot less house cleaning?
Well, this is the suggestion. The researchers even went a little bit further. It was a very elegant study, and they wanted to find out why this would be. Why do you need to be eating the dust from the dogs? And they found out that
it's very unpalatable.
That's right. Curiously, the mice that were given that dog dust had very different bacteria within their gut. Eating that dog dust changed the sort of probiotics in their gut. And the researchers think this is what's important for dampening our immune system and making it sort of less prone to getting allergies. And so the take-home message is, without a doubt, we need to be doing human studies. This was just a study in mice. But it does give us sort of some very important insights into how our gut bacteria can have an impact on our overall health, and also that perhaps it's very healthy to have an array of bacteria and be exposed to an array of bacteria when we're younger. Of course, which bacteria? That's the question, isn't it? We can't just go eating mud all the time.
I'm not sure that I'm ready for eating dog dust. Of course, we should be keeping up our vitamins. We all know that we need vitamin D, but what's it got to do with hobbits?
That's right. a study came out recently from some funny boffins in the UK, really, that did a very detailed analysis of The Hobbit. And they found that the triumph over good and evil in The Hobbit could at least be partially attributed to the characters' sort of how much sunlight they were exposed to, and possibly their diet as well. And they found that the goodies tended to be exposed to more sunlight, the baddies less so, living in the dark. And so rather than it being seen as a metaphor, perhaps, the authors said, well, perhaps the triumph over good and evil is related to vitamin D.
Which there you go. So some food for thought this morning. Wendy Zukerman, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Science journalist with the Checkout, ABC One's Consumer Affairs program. It's 17 minutes to 9.